We're going to start with a quick review of the Cydia until now. You can see the board behind me, right? It's not too far away. Awesome. Okay. So, right, we saw when we were dealing with the question of actually writing the get, and it was like a very, very, you know, practical, down to earth, you'll get your piece of paper out and what do you start doing? The Mishnah basically says we don't have rigid requirements in terms of the ink, for example, or the paper that you need to use so much, right? You can write it on an olive leaf. You can write it with, you know, whatever ink you want, as long as the ink is a davar shenizkayin, right? And initially we sort of, you know, went with, okay, pasha is going to be that it's not particularly formal how you write it, right? You have a very broad range of options. It's not like a Sefer Torah, which needs to be on cloth and needs to be with dio and it needs sirtud and needs, you know, ksava shuris. All you need is to get your point across, right? And we put it, you know, very strongly on the practical side of the spectrum that you need to get the information across, you need to communicate, but how you do that is really of an entirely secondary nature. That was option number one. What we saw, though, is that, right, it's not so obvious, not so pashut in terms of the shittos, because on the one hand, we saw the Rambam, right, and the Rambam went out of his way to say, as long as it's clear in whatever language, you know, whatever ksav, whatever way you wrote it, as long as you wrote it clearly, right, using whatever script you want and you whatever, you know, character style or font or, you know, whatever it is that you did, as long as it's clear to the people who use that language, right, that, and the people who it's meant for, what it means, you're good, right? So Rambam really came down very strongly on the practical side of things. Fine, right? Any, you know, any ksav you understand. On the other hand, you saw the Or Zeruah, and he brought down Rabbeinu Simcha, I believe, right? That said, no, right? You need to write it b'ksav ashuris, right? Same script as the Sefer Torah. The Rabbeinu Simcha went so far as to say you actually need tagin. You need those little, right, little crowns on the top of the letters. Okay, and we were suggesting that for the Or Zeruah. What's interesting about the Or Zeruah and the Rabbeinu Simcha, it's, right, definitely there's something about the idea of the kasav la sefer krisos, that it needs to have the status as a sefer. But what we were surprised by is the Or Zeruah doesn't come out on saying that, oh, it needs to be a sefer, it needs to be this formal ritual document which has its own inbuilt potency, but rather, he said the problem is more of a formal issue, and that there's something that's called ksav, right, real, genuine, you know, formal legal writing, and there's things which are not, right? When you write in, like, shorthand or in chicken scratch, you know, that's, it's great that you understand it, but that's not ksav, right? It has to be printed, you know, it's like papers, right? When you hand in your papers, it needs to be in Times New Roman font 12 double-spaced. Why? Because that's, you know, that's ksav, and if you put it in Windings or whatever font is that switches everything to all those like random symbols, right? The professor's not going to accept it, even though we all love Windings, right? So basically, the Or Zeruah says, oh, it needs to be formally ksav, right? You need to fit these formal legal requirements of what proper writing is, not because of something inherent in the get, that it's like a ritual item, right? That has this very specific potency only if you do it right. Right, something which we would imagine makes sense, let's say, by a Megillah Sota. In the case of Megillah Sota, you write down this, you know, this parsha, you erase it into the Mayim Hamarim, and then it has these, you know, let's say, mystical powers to it, right? It has ritual power, but here we're talking about something formal. It's not ksav otherwise. And he comes up with a cool kula, right, just on the side of things, that because it's not really ksav, you don't have the problems of Dvarm Shebechtav, that you need to only write psukim with sirtut, right? You need those lines, you need to be on line paper, because it's not real ksav, right? Maybe you would say that, okay, you don't have a problem of Dvarm Shebal Peh, yeah, Tarashai Lomram Kosvam Bechtav, that you can't write Torah Shebal Peh down. That's not a problem as long as you do it not in formal ksav ashuris. In fact, oh, I really should have put this on Dapapara. Sorry, I didn't. The Rama has a tshuva where he says that. that you shouldn't write in Ksava Shures, Torah Shebal Peh. And therefore, you should. That's why a lot of, like, say, Haredi publishers print things in Ksav Rashi. There's actually the new editions of the Shutim of the Rama actually have all the tshuvos in Ksav Ashures, so you can actually read it, right? Because Ksav Rashi is really annoying to read. And one tshuva, this tshuva that says you have to write print it in Ksav Rashi is printed in Ksav Rashi. It's very cute. Okay, so what the idea is, if it's not in Ksav Ashuris, it's not really written. It's not real Ksav. And if it's not real Ksav, all the rules that apply to real Ksav don't apply. So the issue of writing down Torah Shebal Peh is not a problem. The requirement of having Sirta for Torah Shebichtav when you write Psukim isn't a problem. And by when it comes to a get, it's all very nice that you wrote it in windings, but it's not real Ksav, right? You didn't really write it down properly. It's not formally written. Okay, so it's a formal requirement because that's part of the formal definition of Ksav, but it's not going to be pogea, let's say, in its extra physical potency. On the other hand, right, Rabbeinu Simcha, says that no, you even need tagin, right? You actually need to treat it and write it basically like a Sefer Torah. And the Or Zeruah actually brought a something that the Rabbeinu Tam told to the Rabbanim of Paris, that they're supposed to actually write it just like a Sefer Torah, which implies that it's not just, formal, but it needs to be a Sefer, and more than that, it also has some sort of ritual potency as well, right? It's not just a formal din, it's a ritual Sefer din. It's a Sefer Krisos, and it has the power inherent to it to create Krisos, okay? Let's make this ritual. One added nafkmina, right, is that the more you focus on the actual communication involved in the get, the more that you care about the nesina, right? The handing over is the act of communicating their divorce, right? The shtar of a get is a way of communicating that in a very clear and provable way, perhaps, right? But all that is so you're communicating it. Right? It's the v'natan la sefer krisos. If you emphasize the nesina, right, giving over the get is what's megarish. On the other hand, if you look at the potency as being, it's a ritual item that has the potential and the power inherent to it in order to create gerushin, the more I'm going to say that having the get is what creates gerushin, right? You give a get, and it's triggered, and it, right, does something. I mean, a bad analogy is, right, the difference between, let's say, you're like an average projectile, right, let's say a bullet. Well, a bullet, there's nothing special about it. What makes it effective? The transfer of kinetic energy when you, send it on its way, right? As opposed to, like, it's a missile, right? It gets wherever it is, and then it blows up, okay? So, kibyachol, your get over here, right? Giving over the get is what creates the gerushin. As opposed to over here, you give over the get and then it like detonates and blows up the ishas. Okay? So here you're creating something which inherently has specific potential and power. And over here, the emphasis is on the vinasa on the sefer krisos, so the nitsina, the giving it over, which creates the gerushin. Okay. Well, over here, what do we think? And the answer is we don't know, right? It could go either way. He's saying that you have a formal requirement that it be a legal document, and therefore it needs to be legally written in the manner in which the Torah prescribes. However, it doesn't necessarily have any, fundamental power, or no, right? It's the whole point is that it has very specific formal properties to it. Okay, that was heretofore our discussion of the actual writing of the Chafetz Chaim. Now, in the Makoros, second here, we found, I sent out a piece from Rav Lichtenstein just because I wanted to, two things. One is I wanted to like compress this section because we could spend a ton of time on this and I feel like it would be chaval to miss out on some of the later sugyas. So he had really condensed it nicely. But number two is I wanted to sort of, point out like the possibility of doing things a little bit differently than his approach. Okay, I think we came to a slightly different emphasis on analyzing these makaros. So it's like a good opportunity to talk about derech hanimud. Okay, so Rav Lichtenstein talks about the Mishnah's koveh sheish lichtov asaget b'davar hamiskayim, right? The dio, the ink that you write it with needs to be miskayim. And this is right. There are two ways to understand this this requirement. Okay, one ksiva b'davar she'inu miskayim einena ksiva. Okay, that if you write it in on something that's not miskayim, you just didn't write it. Right, it's a problem in the physical writing that is in front of us. Mehutasho ksiva, he yitzirat ktav shielo kiyum leorech zman. Right, the whole point of writing is so that it remains for the future. Uksiva b'davar she'inu miskayim ina ona ahagdarazu. Okay, if it's not going to last, then you didn't really write it. Right, the whole point of writing is to store information for the future. Option number two, ksav she'inu miskayim pasul leget. Kivan sha Torah doreshes lichtov sefer krisos. The ksav she'inu miskayim enena memale es adrisha l'sefer. Okay, so you basically can have the two extremes. Okay, on the one, or I'd say like maybe the orza ruah together with the ritual sefer, although not necessarily. It's hard to know where to put the orza ruah in this one. Okay, I was saying on the one hand, you have the option of looking at it as practical. Right? It's not practically a permanent communication of actual intent because it's not real ksav if it's not going to last, right? Disappearing ink is not really writing someone something. On the other hand, it could be a formal problem, okay? That it's not going to last and it's not ksiva b'sefer. Okay. The main emphasis here is, though, it could be something unique to Gittin, right? We have a Gittin problem. Right, ksav she'inu miskayim klal lo mugdar kiktav, hein beget vehein betchumin achirim ba'alacha. Right, you could say that by ksiva sefer Torah or by writing on Shabbos, it's not going to be considered writing. Lefi havana shniya lumatzot hapsul shel ksav she'inu miskayim noveh meretzorch besefer shudin miyuchad beget. Right, din ze inu kayam betchumim achirim v'itachin. Okay. And then he says, and you see that in Shabbos you do need ksav miskayim. So that would imply that this is a universal din. And then whoever, maybe that's only unique to Shabbos. Okay. But what's not necessarily true about this? I mean, why don't you have to do that? So there's a lot of bugs here. It's driving me crazy. You just focus on the thing and ignore the fact that they're being attacked.
Maybe there's some sort of web of chashivos by Moach on Shabbos that a shorthand ketiva also would not, live up to. Let's call it Moach Machshavet.
Right. Okay. So that's one thing. That was just important. Thank you. Really sorry about that. There's so many bugs. It's really gross. Okay, correct. Right, so one thing is to say, dafka by Shabbos, we have this requirement of melechas machshavas, and therefore, we're also going to need the ksav to be niskayim. So we're always going to need the ksav to be niskayim, also, let's say, by sefer. Potentially, you can have nafkaminas between those, right? Even if you say get needs ksav that's niskayim because of sefer, and Shabbos needs it because of melechas machshavas, you could potentially distinguish between those two, right? In different ways. But what about the first one? Right? The first one says, right, ksiva b'davar she'inu miskayim einenu ksiva, because the whole point of ksiva is that it lasts. Right? So you can say that, universally that's not true. But you could also modify it a little bit. Right? What do we say? Think about something that's unique to Gittin that requires it to be permanent. Right. Let's say a get is the manifestation of the das of the Baal to be Megaresh. Yeah, Ari.
I mean, you need to get later to like prove that there was actually a divorce and to prove that it was a valid divorce.
Right. Part of the whole, sorry about the bug thing, but it's driving me crazy. Part of the whole point of the get is not only, A, it might be that you actually need it to exist later, right? Not because it's a sefer kritzos and there's something formal about the creation of the get as a sefer, but because either it's supposed to also serve as proof later, right? It's an anchor for our ability to confirm the existence of the gerushin, right? Part and parcel of the gerushin is that, right, now we all know. The Sefer Achinach actually puts that in. What's the difference between pre-Matan Torah and post-Matan Torah? In post-Matan Torah, it needs to be like provable, and therefore we make you do a biksav. In which case, it's not a din in Sefer, right? It's not a formalistic requirement. It's a very practical requirement in the get that says that you need it to last, number one. Number two is if it's about the communication, right, and it's a manifestation of his irrevocable intent to divorce, right, his das legarish, right, the das legarish also needs to be permanent, that you're, right, getting divorced legamri, not lizman. You can't get divorced, like, you know, oh, for 30 days or for 5 minutes, right, especially if you hold, like, the chachamim that gerushin has to be absolute, right? If this is the manifestation of that intent, right, this is the way you're communicating that, and it's self-erasing, right, it's one of those, like, you know, self-destructing letters that you have in, you know, like spy movies, right? This get will self-destruct in 30 seconds. Then it doesn't really manifest the intent to permanently and irrevocably get divorced, right? If the get is a manifestation of the das legarish, then if it's not permanent, then it doesn't really represent that intent to be megarish. Okay? So what's interesting is, on the one hand, right, Aran here puts out a chakira of ksiva as a problem in ksiva, or as a problem in sefer, but because of the way that the chakira is being set up, it leads us to say, okay, well, you know, if it's din in ksiva, it's universal. If it's a din in sefer, it's not universal. But we could also set it up as practical versus let's say formal and fundamental, right? We could look at it as ksav, which is what we did originally, in which case we get a different way of looking at things, right? Which is also much more gittin specific, okay? Now, so what's cool, and it was like, I think, a classic emphasis of Avraham Zarech, is looking at things vis-a-vis the other places in Shas where they come up, or where they could impact, okay? What's his initial reaction? Okay, wait a second. We have this rule by gittin. What's the first question Ravan likes to ask? Is this something unique to gittin, or is this something that's universal, right? Is it a din in get? Is it a din in ksiva, right? You're writing a get. You're being co-save a get, let's say. So whenever you do that, Ravan says, oh, here's our opportunity, right? This is, our sugya here is ksivas get, right? It's writing a get. So I can put the emphasis over here, right? It's a universal about writing. Or I can make it something unique to Gittin. Okay? Methodologically, the fact that we're talking about Ksivas Get automatically puts us in the potential of saying, is it a rule in ksiva? Is it a rule in get? Right? Those two elements of writing a get automatically give us two elements that we need to evaluate it by. Right? Is this unique? Is this universal? Number one. Okay. Number two is on the one hand, that's fantastic, right? Because that automatically gives us a fundamental question that we need to start dealing with. Right? It helps us break everything down into the critical issues. Is this a gittin din or not? Is it universal? The problem is, I don't know, it's not necessarily a problem, right? The problem that leads to, let's say, in this nikuda, which, I mean, later, right, Aran is aware of the alternatives, but when we use it, it offers the potential danger of suddenly, as if I say, oh, is it unique to gittin? What do I want to do? What does Ravaran do in the, or whoever summarized it, right? You simplify it and say, if it's unique to gittin, then it must be a din in, right? This must be a din in sefer, right? It's put down, you know, because of sefer, right? we initially assume, oh, if it's something about get, then it must be something about, right? A get is a sefer, let's say. Great, fantastic. As opposed to ksiva, if it's universal while writing, then it must be something universal while writing. So the chisaron is, you know, that it's, let's say it's not not ksav, right? Or something along those lines. Yeah. But one second, just what's the problem, though? Right? Why is it not necessarily true? Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be what I said before, that the get, you need the get specifically to last because you need it as like a receipt to show later. But it doesn't necessarily have to be about the formality of it.
Right. So it could be something, A, it might be unique to get in, but that could be because it's a sefer, right? Which can be also because it's formal, or because it's like the ritual, because it's ritual, right? Or it could be because of the communication in specific. It could actually be universal, right? It's not something you totally need to get. It's universal. It's just that in this context, the communication needs to be lasting, right? Practically needs to be lasting. It's not like a formal din and get. It's a very practical din and get. It's not about the physical writing that I have in front of me. It's about the utility of a get. What does a get used to do? It's used to be megarish. In order to be megarish, it needs to manifest the das megarish, okay? Which is what we saw over here. So even though, according to this whole spectrum, right, we require it to be ksav miskayim, nonetheless, right, and all three of these reasons, these two reasons, the two extremes, dafka, right, are specific to a get, right? Your temptation is to say, oh, I have ritual, I'll put that down over here. I have specific, right, that it's special to sefer. That must be here. And if it's universal, then it must be in the practical nature of the thing. But what we saw is dafka, the opposite, right? The two extremes of it being a sefer or it being practical both led us to say that this is something special to get, right? We have a real problem here by get that either it's not going to last and a get needs to last, right? For all sorts of get reasons, or it's a ritual, right? It's a ritual construct, and of course it needs to follow the ritual rules. But dafka, the idea that it's universal about writing was the middle shita of the Zerua, right? That it's formal. So what actually happens is that you very often, on one hand, this is an amazing tool. It's like an amazing tool. It's like a go-to tool. And it's critical that you ask that question. Is this something specific? Is this universal? Right? I said you wrote it and like you have the XYZ problems. Is that a problem because it's a get, or is that a problem because it's supposed to be something that's anything that's written? Right? And the easiest way to get to that chakira is just think of the words that you're discussing, right? We're talking about ksivas get. Is that about the ksiva or is it about the get? But it sometimes can lead you to oversimplifying, right, into thinking, oh, if it's about the ksiva, right, then it's going to be practical, and if it's about the get, then it's going to be formal. But it's not necessarily going to be true, right? Okay, that's point number one. Okay, let's continue with analyzing the piece in Rav Aaron Sefer. Okay. So then he asks a few interesting questions, which fall into the sort of the structure of, there's a question of like, what's the nature of the din? Okay, the ofi hadin, which was what we asked over here, right? Is it about ksiva or is it about the fact that it's a get? Right? What's the nature of this din? The next question is, what's the hekef hadin? What's the extent of the din? Where does it apply? Okay, obviously those two are going to be interrelated, right? If I can find out what the nature of the din is, I can probably tell you where it should apply. And if I can tell you where it applies, I can use that to reconstruct what the nature of the din is. Okay? One second. Ah, okay, here. Yeah, this is the one that I wanted to talk about. What about if the ink is wet, okay? Now, instinctively, would you have thought there's a problem if the ink is wet? I'm just like curious what you guys would think. It needs to be davar miskayim. Right? I mean, you're like, I don't know. Like, I wrote it. I wrote it. It's there. It'll dry. Right? On the other hand, it's not dry yet. Okay? So, like, what would you, you know, like, it's an interesting question. So let's look, let's see what the Achronim say. So the Mordechai says here, where was it? I just skipped it. Okay, the Mordechai is Mechadesh, that's usher to give a get, kasher hadina hadyo adayin lach, kivan shazen nechshav davar she'inu miskayin. Okay? That's very, it's interesting. That's, you know, like, that's cool. I can think about that beforehand. Chol davar shu miskayim, mikan yish lizaher, shol litien geli isha kishu lach, sharei eno shal kayama. Right? Because I guess while it's still wet, you could smudge it, stuff like that. So it's not shal kayama, because it only, right, really lasts permanently once it's dry. Okay. Hamachaber shulchan arach pasak lalacha sha asr lasis li isha asaget kasher adyo adayin lach. Ulam hu menamek zot baofen shoneh mei Mordechai. Ladas hamachaber kasher adyo lach aget pasol because it royally is dive, because you could forge it. Okay, but that's not really so relevant because if you have Eidim Asira, you don't have to worry about that. The Chalkas Mechokek, because one of the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch is Mitlabet, whether or not is there a psol when it's lach or not. Okay? And he thinks that you should be makbid, but b'dieved it wouldn't be a problem. Okay? The Beis Shmuel says, like, right, since the get, b'dieved, kivan shem sofo shel davar, you hadavar miskayim, right? It's nidon al shem sofo, that at the end of the day, it's going to be miskayim, right? Habei Shmuel atmo eno sover kach, ela ledato adin nikva lefi matzav hadyo b'rega hamesira. Okay, just underline that. Right, in b'shas hamesira hadyo adayin lach, if the ink is wet when you give it over, says the Beis Shmuel, yev sholahach shir saget al smach ha'uvda shabatid hu yafeich ledavar hamiskayim. Okay? Now, what does Rabbanan do? What would I do? What's our instinct now? We have a machlokas between the achronim. How do we look at it? Do we view the get based on how it is this second, or based on what it will be, or because nidon al shem sofo, or what it is the second also? When you think of the fact that the ink is wet, right? How do you apply it? Okay, so Rav Aaron does, first he says, oh, well, let's look at it in a universal sense. Okay, oh, I have to share them. 1 second. Sharing is caring. Here's the share button. Yeah. Right, Machlokas Achronim Hazu, Maskira, Diyun Dome Behochol Shabbos. So, oh, where else do we see this? Right, are there any parallels? The Primi Gadim is Mesupak. If you start cooking on Shabbos, but the bishul is only going to finish after Shabbos, are you chayiv or not? Fascinating Hilchos Shabbos question, right? You put the pot on the oven, right? But it's not going to actually cook until later. What's the din? Right? On the one hand, you did the action. On the other hand, the totsah hasn't happened yet. Is it good enough that the totsah will happen in order for me to say that you're chayiv? You did the action. The totsah hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen as long as everything just stays the way it is. Okay? So the same question, you could ask about the ink, right? Masa bishul b'shalav rishon eino yotzer totsah, but it will happen later. Okay? What's the assumption there? What are we assuming when we say that, when we think that way, when we compare it to this din of Shabbos? Or what's the machlokas then between the chelokas machlokik and the Beis Shmuel? What's the question by Shabbos? Right? It's definitely you. What? Yeah.
The question by Shabbos is whether you're chayav when you actually make food, like you cook food to be edible, or it's whether every second that you're cooking the food, you're chayav.
Right. You, at the end of the day, by Shabbos, you need the food to get cooked. If you put it on the oven and you pull it off right away, you'd be pater, right? But because your ma'aseh bishul didn't create any edible food. But if you do it and then it all works out, you're great, right? Good to go. Fantastic. You did bishul, you have the food, fantastic. Okay? So the question is really, is it about the, let's say, the ksiva, the bishul, or is it about the fact that it hasn't happened yet going to be ma'akev, the totsah, right? You need a totsah there at the end, right? Is that part of the whole process? Okay? The assumption by get is it needs to be ksav hamiskayim. You did ksiva, which will lead to the creation of ksav hamiskayim, but you don't have it yet. Okay, so the question is, do you need the ksiva? Is it didn't like the, right? The ksav is a ksiva, which is miskayim, or do you need the physical object with me, right? That seems to be like the hakira we're going for. And it's a universal question, okay? The problem is that, why was that necessarily going to be true here? Is that really applicable necessarily to a get?
I think it's more of a question of like nesina or kesiva by a get.
Right, Pasha's by, yeah. Keep going. Sorry.
No, go.
Yeah, you go. Sorry, it's some guy by mislahi.
Because we're really looking at the product that you're giving. Well, the question is: are we looking at the product that you're giving to the woman, or are you looking at the product, you know, that you're producing? Which, you know, I suppose you could say falls out into the ma'aseh totsah chakira, but you might say it's a little specific to get with the masira. For example, if you could even have a shaliach do something, right, and they're walking over to the give her the, you know, to be mekadesh her or to divorce her. And, you know, if you stop the shaliach, you've literally done the maisa, but you stop it, and it's furnished.
Right. Very good, right? When it comes to a gittin, when it comes to Shabbos, let's say, well, that's not my problem. My problem is I have, let's say, the isra is to do malacha, right? So then the question is, right, malacha basically has, right, you have your, in the whole, you know, world of malacha, you have your action, right, which leads to a result, also known in the Zalamdus, as if the Maisa leads to the Tetzah, right? And the Torah says, right, don't do this Malacha, right? So if you do your Maisa Malacha, right, you do the Malacha, and it hasn't had the Tetzah yet, so you have an interesting question of, sometimes, it seems like it depends on the Av Malacha even, sometimes we care about the Tetzah, sometimes we don't, and even if we care about the Tetzah, is the totsah just a way of evaluating the action that you did, right? An action might not count if it doesn't actually affect anything. But what are you chayiv on Shabbos? Because you did melechus machshavas. If you didn't create the totsah, then it's not melechus machshavas, right? But the point is, don't do melacha, right? When it comes to a get, the pashtus is, unless you really have a huge chiddush here, what's the point of the get? Why does it need to be miskayim? Right, it's not about the ma'isa ksivas haget. That's the problem. The problem is the get itself as a chefta. Right, it's not like human. Right, this is Shabbos. Let's say like Shabbos is human centric. He's got a hat. He's got a black hat. Where's that hat on Shabbos? Right, a get is how do you say like you know. Text. It's a text-based, you know, it's a text-based course. It's all about being engaged with the text, literally, right? So, or in this case, the opposite of engaged, so it would be divorced with the text. But, right, the ksiva, at the end of the day, right, isn't engaged with the text, it's divorced from the text. In which case, it's not so much a question of, like, did you do the ksiva, like, kishmak or not kishmak, because the totsah hasn't happened yet. And the totsah is only going to happen later, so you didn't do a good ksiva, right? What were we trying to do? We're trying to evaluate the object in front of us, in which case the parallel between Shabbos and get isn't a good parallel at all, right? In fact, even if you accept the idea that it's a universal about writing, I still wouldn't want to compare it to Shabbos, okay? Now, in the next paragraph, Rav says, well, you could easily be mechalik. But I would say that you really can't make a really proper comparison between them at all. Okay, so on the one hand, it's important to say, oh, do I have a parallel concept elsewhere, right? Does it work with the categories that I know? such as, right, Maisan Totsa. On the other hand, it's very easy to say, oh, the Bchalkas Mechaikik says it's a din in the Maisa, because you did the Maisa Ksiva. And the Bishmul says, no, you did the Totsa of drying, right? But why would those, and it's very tempting, except that when you think about it, why would I care by a get? Right? When it comes to a get, I don't really care if you did the Maisa Ksiva or you have the Totsa Ksiva. I care about the Chefta Shel Get. So when we're dealing with Shabbos, which is Maisa-centric, then I care about the dichotomy between Maisa and Totsa, right? When it comes to Get, which is get, the object-centric, right? I definitely, when I'm evaluating the qualities of this Get, I'm looking at the Get itself as an object, not about the writing action. So I don't really care about the Maisa versus Totsa dichotomy. So it's very tempting to fall into, oh, Maisa versus Totsa, just like I would say by Shabbos, right? But it's clearly not, logically, it's not going to make sense. So even though you have a great parallel here, right, it falls apart when you look closely and you say, well, mechanically, why would that matter? Okay? So in get, why would it matter? Okay, so Rabbi points out in the next paragraph, right? Imzot. מסתבר לחלק בהקשר זה בין הלכות שבס לחוסקין. בשבס החיב הוא המייסה בשל. הדרס האוכל כמבשל נדרס כדי שמייסה אכן יחשב כבשל. It's about the מייסה. בגט, הדרישה לכתב המתקיים מתייחסת לחפטו של הגט בשעס נסינה. אם ברגע הנסינה הדיו עדיין לך, הגט פסל. ואין החשיבות לכך שבעתיד הדיו יתייבש. Okay? So his netiyah is to say, now what do I care about? I care about the chefta, in which case, l'chol adeos, right? If the ink is still wet, the get should be pasul, v'in chashivut l'kach shabatid hadyo yityadesh. I shouldn't care about the fact that what will happen in the future. Okay? In which case, if you require it to be ksav hamiskayim, then the fact that in the future it will dry shouldn't matter, because I should just evaluate it right now. Okay? Now, that's true. If you take this question, then wet ink should be a problem, right? Because cheft, once we acknowledge that a get is object-centric, then I'm evaluating the get, and the get is wet, so it's not miskayim right now, right? So when I gave over ksav, that's not miskayim. What's the problem with that? Why would we not accept that analysis? There's wet ink. First of all, Chalkas Mechokek doesn't think it's a problem, right? And the Shulchan Aruch seems to not think it's a problem. So the Bishmol does, and the Mordechai does. Yeah. All right.
It could be a get sefer ritual issue and not just a ktav issue. It doesn't have to be a davar mitzkayim thing.
Oh, okay. So how would you break it down? Because that's a bit of a tough question. Maybe universal versus unique to get. At the end of the day, right now, object-centrically, it's not dry. If I function using our metrics, right, how is it going to break down? Let's say if you hold like the Rambam, what are you going to say?
If you say like the Rambam, you have to say that it's not Devarim, it's Kayem, so it's not like... I don't know, I guess the Rambam might say it's kosher. No, is that possible?
You tell me.
I mean, yeah, it's possible because it's readable and it's understandable. So it practically it's a perfectly valid get.
Right. Will it last? Will it be miskayim?
At some point, yeah.
It will. The fact that it's wet right now doesn't take away from the fact that it's going to last a million years, right? I won't last a million years. 2,000 years, you know. We have Kisvei Yad that go back a really, really long time. I was in the Israel Museum. I saw the Ksav Yad of the Rambam. Like the Rambam like signed off on a copy of the Mishnah Torah. He's like, this one's good. You know, you can trust this one. Like he wrote that, you know. He wrote that 1,000 years ago. It's still there. It's still fresh. You know, totally readable, totally legible, totally clear. Right. When he wrote it, it was wet. Now it's clearly dry, and it's definitely been miskayim. The fact that it's not, it's wet right now is a very formalistic problem, right? So what happens is, it's like this. If you say, like the rabbi, that's practical, then I'll say, okay, no biggie, right? You have a practical problem. It needs to be miskayim. It needs to be, let's say, either as proof or as a manifestation of your das. It's wet. It's going to dry. It's going to last. So it's perfectly fine, right? Wet, right, should be fine. Or wet will dry. I should say wet will dry.
It's right? Easier to smudge.
It is.
That's right? A practical problem.
What?
It can be a practical problem, too, if you say it's easier to smudge.
No, you could say it's a practical problem. You could say, oh, but right now, I can't rely on it, right? Right. But there's no reason necessarily to think there's an issue, right? Especially if I can definitely be the chalkas machokik and say the best is lichatchila it should be dry, right? But b'dieved it'll last, right? Unless something happens to it. But if you throw it on fire, it'll also get ruined. So right, wet. What did I just say? I was gonna write.
Wet will dry.
Wet will dry. Very good.
But why, like we just said that it's about the chefta of the get, so why don't you still have to evaluate it at that point? Like, why are you allowed to talk about it in the future if you're evaluating it as a chefta of the get?
Fantastic, right? So what was our problem? Why are we talking about wet ink? What did we do? We took wet ink. The Mordechai said, oh, wet ink isn't miskayim. And now when we don't think of wet ink anymore. What do we think about? We think of wet ink as ink that's not going to be miskayim, right? The Mordechai said, you have wet ink equals not miskayim, right? And now we're trying to deal with that. The problem is, it's only not miskayim if you define not miskayim in a very specific way, right? Why would I say it's not miskayim? Because, I think the answer is, if you think it's a ritual document, right, with all this potency locked in, then it needs to be completed, right? It has to be dry. It has to be functional already. All the little gears have to be spinning, let's say, right? It has to be going tick, 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 in order to be functional. So I would say the ink needs to dry. It needs to be a fully completed get that's already, you know, all the gears are spinning, right? Right? It needs to be operational. Right? Because when does it go, you know, kaboom? Right? When is it being triggered, right, as a fully functional ritual object that's going into effect? When you give it over, right? So when do I care? When does the chefta need to be functional? So I says, oh, right, when it comes to the chefta, and if it needs to be miskayim because it needs to be miskayim as part of it being a ritual sefer, then of course it needs to be miskayim right now because the future is irrelevant, right? It doesn't need to be miskayim so that it'll last. It needs to be miskayim because that's part of its definition as a ritual item, right? As opposed to the Rambam, or let's say the practical approach says, it needs to be miskayim because it needs to last. If it's wet now, it's going to last. It'll last another 1,000 years, right? So what happens is, because we're not evaluating it based on the question of universal versus get specific, right? As a chakira between ksiba versus get, but as a chakira between is a practical metric or is it a ritual metric, is it a formal metric, we get something different, right? We're evaluating this differently because I think this works better when you get into the mechanics of how the get's working, as opposed to the abstract, right, a priori conceptuals, you get a much more clearer view of where the problem would be and how that would actually create the problem, right? When I tell you that there's davar she'eino miskayim and that's a problem, right, and then I say, oh, so if it's wet, it's not miskayim, is that okay because in the future it'll be dry? We're dealing with like very... right, abstract concepts of what we have in a miskayim, what is in a miskayim, but it will be miskayim in the future. Can I bring the future and already see it now? Right? That's not our issue. Right? Our real issue is wet ink going to be something that's not miskayim or not? It depends what miskayim means, right? If miskayim is something ritual and it's going into effect right now and part of what it needs is to be something that's already miskayim, so then I would need it to be here right now. I would need it to be dry, maybe. But if I think that the whole reason why it needs to be niskayim is because it's a manifestation of his, right, niskayim das, or if it's something that needs to be used as proof later, then if it's wet, it'll dry. That's already niskayim. Okay? So when we look at it not as an abstract, but as practically, how does this interact with the way a get works, you actually get a very, very different different way of looking at the sugya and a very different result. Okay? What's cool is that, on the one hand, this tool is amazingly effective, right? The playing off the, is it unique? Is it universal? Are there parallels, right? Is it different? But you also need to think of, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, why should that be a problem here, right? You're right that there's a general issue sometimes of, let's say, Einu Miskayim or Maisa without a Totah, but here, why would that be, right? What's happening? And then, and obviously, what are we helped by? We're helped by the fact that we just did the sugya, right, about other dinim of ksiva. When you put all the different dinim together, it gives you a much sharper picture. Now, just one added element, how would you put out the Or Zeruah's formal ksiva approach? How would he be mityaches to this question of wet ink?
I don't see why it would be so different from ritual as far as the wet ink is concerned, because like, either, you know, you're still, either it becomes formal at a certain time, or you, right, or you're the Rambam and you theoretically don't care that it'll eventually dry out. But I think it's more on the ritual side. If you were of K, you and you don't believe in a three-way machlokas, you would have a two and a two, and I think formal and ritual would be grouped together.
Right. You hear that. Okay. Ami, what do you think? I'm gonna pull all of you, so you gotta get ready. You can pick either side. You can agree with Amitai if you want. You want to agree with Amitai? Okay. One second, I'm going clockwise. Dan.
Yeah. What Rama would say on what?
What would, if you take, say that, oh, the problem is you need like ksav, okay? There's a formal requirement of like what's defined as writing, right? Let's say it needs to be like say for Torah font, and it needs, you know, also these, you know, to be in permanent ink, right? That's the problem here with the whole Davar HaMiskayim. Would you say that wet ink is okay or not okay?
If you have a formal requirement, then wet ink should not be okay because your formal standards want, you know, something that you have certain criteria and that should include dry ink. I don't think, is formal going to be future focused? Like, my inclination is that formal is not going to care about the future, but you might say that there's, you know, the formal definition could include an exception that's like, look, as long as it eventually fits our formal criteria, we're good. But in my, like, my inclination says, no, we have these rigid formal standards and we want them to be true now.
Okay, so you're with Amitai and Am. Okay, Tila?
I say that wet ink is an issue, but probably not from the perspective of the chavtza. I don't know if that's a valid opinion.
Would be an issue, but
not... I think of it more in terms of the idea of the mechaber that once it's wet, it can be ruined. That if okay, our formal requirement is...
You're saying like that?
Yeah. No, but not lezayif isn't to change, but lezayif isn't to override if the ketav as a formal requirement because it's not set yet.
Okay.
It's not set to the extent where it has to be a sefer, but there's rules and you need to make sure the rules manage to be in place.
Right. Okay. Right. I mean, if it's not dried yet, that's not properly written. Right. Let's say you're publishing a book. So published doesn't mean like I have wet copies that aren't read yet, or you paint something and the ink wet paint's still wet. It's not finished yet. Right. It's not done. Okay. And Ari,
I'm gonna disagree with Amitai. I think that the Orz HaRuah is saying specifically, the Orz HaRuah, in my opinion, is closer to the Rambam in terms of why it needs to be a Davar Miskayim and what like the actual nature of the thing is. It's just that it has to be writing at all. So there's no reason to think that wet writing isn't considered Ktav, but he would think that the reason that needs to be Davar Miskayim is not because it's like a din in the Ktav, but rather because it's a din in just having to have a get available in the future. So I would say that the Orz HaRuah is probably closer to the Rambam, and he would say that wet ink probably is fine.
Okay, so you're saying that formally you wrote it, the text is all there, right, appropriately. It needs to dry still, but in terms of how you wrote it properly. Right, and it's gonna last. It's there. It's you did all the writing things, and if you let it sit, it's gonna dry. And who says that dry is part of the formal requirements? Right, you wrote it properly, written by the rules. It's wet, but that's not necessarily against the rules. Okay, and I think the appropriate answer is drum roll. Right, I think they're both very good arguments. Right, I think what this also is a good example of is that, right, not every chakira is only two ways. Right, on the one hand, there are parts of the Orz HaRuah Shita, right, who says that, oh, it's formal. You know, there's rules about how ksav works. There's rules about printing, just like there are rules about handing in papers in Times New Roman font 12 double space. Right, and if it's a 20-page paper and you hand it in something else, right? They're going to tell you to resend it. So there are formal rules. But ultimately, right, the question of is it wet, is it dry, right? Is it formally, does it need to be already niskayin? Or it needs to be written, but it needs to be written properly, normally. But it's not because of some sort of extra ritual power, potency, but because you need to write it. So once you need to write it, you need to write it properly. But once you wrote it properly, that's a din in how you wrote it, right? It's not a din, it's not like an extra feature of the actual chefza, right? Which is also cool because that's a little bit what Tehillah is sort of putting in the middle, right? It could be, you can have the actual formal requirements not really be about the chefza, right, but be about, you know, how you do it. So Tila was saying, oh, but I would still need it to be dry because it needs to be niskayin, right? But you can also say, oh, well, if it doesn't need to be a din in the, it's not a din in, let's say, the chefta, it's a din in how you write it, how you communicate it. You need to communicate it properly because it needs to be written, and there are rules that govern how things are written. Then maybe if you wrote it that way, right, in terms of the actual content, I don't care so much about the chefta, right? What you see is that the Orz HaRuah, on the one hand, he's more formalistic, which goes with ritual, right? Which is what Dan and Ami and Amitai were saying, right? On the other hand, right, if you were doing a Rav K Chakira, right, it would be on the ritual side of the Chakira, right? But what Ari is saying, and Tigo is saying, is, well, okay, but maybe after the fact that you have formal doesn't necessarily mean that it's chefza-oriented, right? Maybe the formality is actually concerned about the communication of the content, not about the object, right? In which case, maybe it doesn't need to be wet. Or, nonetheless, it still needs to be dry, right? What's cool is that just because you could put him either way, he has elements that are similar to both, right? And in this case, we actually don't have an easy way of knowing where he would fall on this one, right? But I think what which is really cool, is that sometimes you have to, you know, break out from the two system of, you know, the chakira always has to have only two sides, and you can put each other shita within the other side is really good, right? It also forces you to think, because you have to decide which side is he more like. But on the other hand, right, it's not always true, or it's not always going to get you to the right answer. And in this case, I think you could say that for some dinim, right, the Urzaro goes this way, and in some dinim, he goes this way. Right? And in the case of the wet ink, he could really go either way. And I think we just have no idea. Yeah, Amitai.
Do you think you could go further? I think you could push further in both directions. You could say sort of like what Dan said and say that you know, that if it's wet, it's smudgeable, and therefore even the most Mako opinion would say that it's not practical, and so therefore it doesn't live up to either of those. And you could also go the other way and say that, you know, you can do a formal Maisek Tiva and just have it not be dry yet, and then push all the way to the Machmir and have them also say that it's that it works even when it's not dry yet.
Right, very good. Right, you can totally flip it. You can totally say, oh, you know, but practically, if it's not dry yet, then it's not dry, right? But if you get into the safer idea, then, you know, I needed it to be written and all these and have all these things, but only because, you know, for purely technical, you know, formal reasons, of ritual reasons, not because I care so much about, you know, it actually being dry, in which case maybe you could really say, if it's wet, since it will be dry, so it meets the formal requirements, you know, because it needs an Ashim Zofa. Yeah. Right? Just the upshot of all this is that sometimes, right, it's easier to group two shitos together, right, they sometimes have nuances of their own, which really make it very hard, but also much more interesting to try to piece it out. Right? And then it helps you get into the mechanisms. Just one last point before we finish. There's like an interesting question about what about what you write it on, which I'm just going to leave this as an open question. But the Tosefta says you need to write it on something which will last also. Right? I'll call davar she'ino shel kayama pasul. And your post achicht of bid davar shu shel kayama has to be written with ink that'll last. Al davar shu shel kayama. And you can't, so you can write it on, let's say, an olive leaf. Olive leaves last forever, basically. They last a really long time. But you write it, let's say, on a gourd leaf, right? Or on other leaves that wither really, really quickly. Let's say cucumber leaves, so they wither really fast, and therefore they're considered davar she'eino shel kayama. Okay, so Tosos says, the Tosefta and Tosos as well say clearly you need both, right? The Rambam, interestingly enough, does not mention it, but he does mention it by Shabbos. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, he does mention that you need it to be on a davar hamiskayim also, unlike by Hilchos Gerushin, where he only mentions that you need to write it with. Now, it could be that the Rambam is just following our Gemara. Our Gemara doesn't mention it, so the Rambam just does mention it also, but he's assuming that's obvious. He could say, oh, obviously, if you need the ksav to be miskayim, the whole thing, right, the whole information, because we're, let's say, information-focused, then, of course, the whole get needs to last. Or not, right? Why would I care? Why would I go one way or the other, potentially? So it could be, right, connected here, again, to our chakiras. It could be that if I take, like, a formal approach, it's about the ksav, then what would I say? Do I need it to be written on something that's shel kayama, according to the Or Zeruah?
Yeah, right.
Maybe it will require.
Why?
Yeah. If it's about the ketav, then I would say that the paper is part of the ketav itself, maybe, or maybe not.
Right. Exactly. What Dan's saying is, yeah, of course, right. I have formal requirements for the ksav, so of course I should require that of the whole package, right? But you could also argue that what's our formal requirements about? the Ksav, right? If you remember that Or Zerua, his emphasis was on what?
It was about the Ktav itself, the writer.
It's about how you wrote it, right? It was about the font, right? Let's say you wrote your papers on acid, on, you know, you're, like nowadays we use acid-free paper because the acid paper like dissolves in 10 years. You know, like old books. You don't scale this. The Rambam signed on this piece of, you know, parchment, right, 1,000 years ago, and it's sitting in the Israel Museum right now, right? I can read it perfectly fine. Your parents' books, right, are all falling apart. You know those like books that, you know, they're like mamish, like they turned yellow and they're falling into like itty bitty pieces. So they made a big oopsie a number of years back, and they started using something called acid paper, which they're like, wow, this stuff is so great. It's easy to produce and it's really nice and clear and white and lasts and it's fantastic. And then what happened is that 10 years passed and it starts dissolving itself because it has acid in it. It's acidic and it basically like it's self-destructing paper. Okay, so now we use acid-free paper. Fantastic. The interesting thing is, let's say you gave your professors, right, the Times New Roman font 12 double-spaced paper on acid paper. Okay, so it's going to self-destruct in 10 years. Right? Is it puzzle or not? If you did it in Arial or in Windings, it would be puzzle, right? But if you use it on the acid paper, maybe not, right? It's actually cool. Academic books in the beginning always say printed on acid-free paper, or this book conforms to blah, blah, blah of the library code that says, you know, what type of paper you're allowed to use these days, right? So for an academic book, actually, the answer is exactly like Dan said. No, right? It needs to be, not only does it need to be printed properly, it needs to be printed on the right stuff. There are formal requirements. But you could say the formal requirements about how you write it, but not necessarily on what you write it, right? In order to be ksav, the actual ktav needs to follow these rules, but what you ktavd it on, not necessarily, right? So the answer is, it's just a tough call. So Tosos and the Tosefta definitely say, no, it's got to be on Davar HaMizkayim. That could be because of practical. Right here, we get a monkey wrench, right? I would have assumed that the most important thing to put on a Davar HaMizkayim would be if you think it's practical, right? I think, right? If it's practical, we care about the totsah, right? We care that it's going to last. But the Rambam is gufa, the person who is the most, it was the biggest question mark on this. He doesn't mention it. When he does mention it by Shabbos, so on one level you could say he's trying to tell us it doesn't, we don't care what it's written on. It could be, right? The ksav is what communicates. That needs to be permanent. Right? The piece of paper that it's on is not as emotionally or, you know, halachically significant, so it doesn't need to be as symbolic. Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know whether or not what the Rambam thinks. Because on the one hand, you could say, it's obvious. Like, the whole thing needs to be Niskayim, but maybe not. Yeah. Tila.
Is there a situation where you could hold writing to be Devar Mikayim if you know that the page is on is not going to exist in 10 years and so the writing on it is going to go away too?
Yeah, because I think either if you look formally, then you could say you wrote it. It's in Ksav Ashuris. It's got Sirta. It's got Tagin. It's in Dio. It's got all the Milos. You wrote it, right? It's like the paper that you hand in at the end of the semester, which is written Times and Roman, font 12, double spaced. What's it written on? What did you print it on? Doesn't matter, right? There are rules about how you're supposed to write it, how you're supposed to print it up. But no, there aren't any rules about what it's supposed to be printed on, because the point is for them to read it right away. Once they read it, right, they don't care what happens in 10 years. But when it comes to reading it right now, it needs to be written properly, right? If you go to the Rambam side, you could still say, right, what's the ksav, the communication of intent, right? Harei v'taras l'chol adam forever. And the intent of we're permanently severing the marriage, right, is the ksiva. It's about what you wrote, right? Not necessarily about what it's on, right? Because what's the manifestation of his intent? It's not the paper. It's the words, right? So maybe we really only care about the words. Maybe not. I would have assumed that the Rambam's, that the practical side which the Rambam falls under, cares about even the paper. You're right. But Gufa the Rambam is the one who's vague about it. Yeah, Ari.
I know it's late, but I thought, like, when I read the Rambam and the Braita, I think that, like, and it said that you can write it on the, even on a slave's hand or on an olive leaf, I thought that was, like, trying to include everything and saying that, like, what you're writing on is not important. And, like, if you're giving those two specific examples, I mean, I guess two examples sometimes means you're excluding stuff, but I don't know. It felt pretty broad to me, so I don't know.
Right. Also, what happens is that in the first part of the Mishnah, it says, as long as it's a davar shel kayama, right? And the end of the Mishnah just says, you can write it on anything, and gives a list of, like, wackadoozle things, right? But what's interesting, though, is the examples that they give are all, right, relatively long-lasting things, as opposed to the Tosefta, which goes out of its way to say, yeah, right? But if you wrote it on these things, you know, that would be totally unacceptable, right? So on the one hand, you're right. Meaning the Mishnah sounds like it's being very broad, intentionally. It's getting anything you want. But on the other hand, the Tosefta goes out of its way to show you that the Mishnah's cases of Yad Eved, Keren Para, Ala Shel Zayis are specific. As opposed to, let's say, Ala of a cucumber plant, which will wilt really quickly. That's, you know, that's not acceptable, right? So just interesting that, you know, like, logically, I mean, the Tosefta makes a lot of sense. It's like almost a very logical, you know, extension, like, of course. And I would say that the Rambam potentially thinks that, like, oh, it's just so obvious that the whole thing needs to be davar shel kayama. I just, on the other hand, based on this, let's say, the Tosefta and Tosos, and the comparison to what the Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos, where he does specifically list the fact that it needs to be al davar shel kayama, right? Ein aksav kosev chayiv ad sheyichtav bidavar haroshim va'omeid. And Osha Kasa Bidiyava Kyotsuba al Ale Yirakos al Val Koldavar She'ino Omeid Pater. He explicitly lists, right, the case of the Tosefta of, you know, that we're, that he doesn't mention in Hilchos Gittin, Perish and Gittin, right, by Shabbos, where for something that's not Shal Kayama, which is going to be Pasal. But on the other hand, he doesn't say it's Kasher in Shabbos, in Gittin, but he doesn't say it's Pasal either. So is he assuming that they're the same? Does he parallel between them? Does he not? You know, it's hard to know, right? Inu chayiv ad sheyichtav bidavar ha'omed al davar ha'omed. I mean, the diuk should be that you don't need it. It's only a din in the ksav, not in the chefza, right? Not on the paper. But on the other hand, the way he writes in Gittin sounds, in kosvin as I get, ela bidavar sherishuma omed, right? And then he goes through, like, you know, it needs to be davar ha'omed, right? Al hakol kosvin asaget afilu al yisuri hanav kosvin al davar sheyachol zayif v'hushiyinu be'edim sira, right? But as only, you know, but the whole context is where it needs to be davar miskayim. So, I mean, the netiyah, I think, is to see the Rambam as saying you don't need it to be miskayim, really, on the paper. But it's hard to know. It's really, really hard to know exactly what to think. Because in terms of the diuk, it is meduyuk that it doesn't need to be niskayim. But in terms of, like, logically, it really, like, why shouldn't it need to be niskayim? According to the Rambam, right? According to the Or Zeruah, I'd be okay with that. It wouldn't be so problematic to me because I'd say, oh, perfect, right? Because he thinks the formality is about how to write, right? There are rules about writing. The rules about paper aren't our problem. If you're a librarian, right? If you're a sofer stam, we have rules about paper. If you're just asking about writing rules, when you go to the writing center, they're going to tell you, you know, what fonts to use. They're not going to tell you, you know, what paper to use. But it's just, you know, like, hard to imagine that the Rambam's not bothered by the fact that it's not going to be niskayim lasad lava. Okay. And just like a sort of like an almost in, you know, opposite direction, the Ran points out, he thinks that when it comes to Shabbos, you have less formal, you know, sometimes by Shabbos we have, sorry, more formal requirements, right? Meaning wet ink might not be a problem by Shabbos, it might be putter by Shabbos, but kosher by a get, right? That's what we were arguing. Again, so let's say the Beis Shmuel Prima Gadim idea. The Ran, though, gives us the opposite case, where by Shabbos something would be fine, would be Aser, would be Ksav, but by Chol it wouldn't, right? It's where you write in relief, where the you don't actually write the letters, you basically carve out around the letters so that the letters are sticking out, okay? So he says there, by Shabbos you'd be Chayiv, because you created clear communication, right? The Melechus Machshavas is all about what you've accomplished, and you accomplished, right, making these letters in a communicatory sense, but in terms of physically, there are no, you didn't write any letters. So by a get, it would be possible. So it's interesting, for the Ran, by Shabbos, I care about the practical side. By get, I care about the formal side, right? Which is funny, because we could also, I mean, we were arguing over here, by the wedding case, is like a similar but opposite, where by Shabbos, the formal problem of there being no totsah would be an issue. But when it comes to the get, because it's clear and it's written and it's going to be niskayim in the future, that's all fine. It's already niskayim, right? For getting purposes. So just cool, because you have similar concepts, but coming to the opposite result. Okay. We will stop here.